That is my research. Not doing any research.
That sounds about right.
Ask all my professors in college. Welcome to episode 17.
You got it.
Hey. Of the podcast. strgamercodcast.com.
We really, didn't you reserve that URL?
Which one?
strgamercodcast. No.
No, something totally random is mine. I own that. I own it. It's mine.
Hey.
Hey.
I wonder if we can get Henry Winkler on the podcast.
If we tell him what's about fish, he's a big fisherman.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then we sandbag him. What do you think about Lord of the Rings Online? What? It's a fishing lure number 12. No, I'm talking.
I need to talk to my agent.
Yeah. Do you grind in Evendon?
Dude, I bet he totally grinds in Evendon.
There's fishing in Lotro. There is fishing in Lotro. Henry Winkler, secret Lotro player.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not so I would much. Love that. You know, Rich Berlew plays, I don't know.
He plays everything, as I can tell.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, apparently he's got a hobbit, on our server named, what's that halfling's name? Order of the Stick.
Yeah, evil dude.
Yeah, the evil little ranger guy.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm forgetting. I follow that.
I stopped reading it years ago.
It's really funny.
Stopped reading it years ago.
He has so many different like plot points going and different themes. And it's just really, really funny. Plot arcs is what I meant to say. Why can't I not? Anyway.
So that's the name. That's the name of his character.
That's the name of his character.
Yeah. Song.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm Brian.
How's it going?
We should record these before we eat dinner.
Yes, we're sleepy, but then we'd be hungry.
That would impel us to get it done quicker and more efficiently.
That's definitely not true.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm doing well. I've been playing pretty much all Lord of the Rings Online.
Nice.
This is going to be the Lotro cast for September 20th. What is it? The 8th? 26th.
26th, yeah. Tomorrow's 27th, which is when the expansion was supposed to drop.
Supposed to go live, but instead they surprised us. They sandbagged us. They cock and balled us.
They did other things, referring to them just pushing the update early, which is not as exciting.
But into my... Not going to go
Moving
there.
On.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been... So, I think we talked about this last week. And I've been playing a bunch of Lotro, trying to get my guy up to level 65 for the level cap.
Did it just in time for the expansion, Razor Eyes?
Pretty much, yeah. We both hit it in the last couple days. Super excited about that. But then the expansion launched today, and I got into the game, and I was like, sweet. I still haven't done any of the Lothlorien content or the Mirkwood content. I've still got all these quests to do, so I'm pretty much not going to see any of the new content for weeks.
Yeah, and it's all gated, right? I mean,
well, yeah, I don't know. I've never been there. You have. You say it's gated, so...
I don't know how they're implementing the Rise of Isengard stuff, but, like, definitely, like, the Lothlorien stuff, you were telling me... well, here's the thing. I played all that content, like, way back, like, in the Wild West of Lothlorien.
When there was tumbleweeds going through. like,
there was no one there. There's no quests, content. Just a bunch of NPCs looking around stupidly at each other. And a bunch of PCs looking around stupidly at the NPCs because they had nothing to offer. And just me freaking grinding away at daily quests.
God, that sounds... terrible.
Oh man. So, and then I came back to it, and then the Mirkwood content is gated in the sense that like you have to go through this whole phased area and do a considerable amount of quests to like open up the real Mirkwood content. So I'm wondering if you still have to do that to get to Rise of Isengard or what. Like, I don't know if they've changed that.
I don't know. I mean, all I know, I got a letter from Elrond, like you do.
Which is awesome. And a title.
I didn't get a title for this one.
What? Summoned by Elrond.
Well, that's the level 65 title, which is rad, but at the same time, it's like everyone who's 65 got that.
I know.
I wish I knew what the rarest title in the game was, because then I'd go grind to get that and wear it with pride.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But anyway, I started it up this afternoon. Got a letter in my mailbox from Elrond saying, please go see somebody at somewhere. And I've never heard of this dude or this place. And if I haven't heard of the place I'm supposed to go, it's going to be hard for me to go there.
Is it a book quest? Like, is it a volume?
It doesn't say.
It doesn't say anything.
So,
I got the same thing from Fading 65, which you probably did, which was like something in the Shire and something for Elrond.
Yeah.
And at least, I think there were two or three quests, and at least one of them was like, followed up with it or whatever, and then it's like, I get the quest, and it's like, click to unlock quest. Like, it's something
it's
I have to buy.
Thing.
Pay to play thing. And I'm like, you seriously send me an email so that I can, or, mail, an in-game mail so that I can pay money for the, like, that just, those two things
there,
don't really.
There was some weird thing where people were getting that quest incorrectly, which I think they fixed now. But yeah, like in his absence, which is the quest that you get from that, is like, go back to the Oatbarton and talk to this guy, and it's a small fellowship quest. And I was like, well, fuck, I'm never going to do this.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm excited. I've got going to play the hell out of that. Probably until the Old Republic comes out.
Man, we can talk about that too, we were talking about this a couple days ago about the size of the Rise of Isengard expansion, and I'm super excited because it seems like it seems like a full expansion, like Moria, 10 levels, 3 new areas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you love crafting. There's supposedly like
a whole new crafting tier, which is what they didn't do for the last update, so.
So, I'm thinking, I don't know, I was thinking last week, because it was just like you, I was totally pushing through the content to make it to level 65, and I'm in Mirkwood right now, and I have a few quests left over there, and I'm kind of burned out, like, not on Lotro in general, but definitely on the Mirkwood content, so I want to go straight to the Rise of Isengard stuff. But
hopefully you know where Gnar's Peak is, because I sure as fuck don't.
I have no idea where it is.
Right.
And I'm way too OCD to like just jump.
To just ignore the stuff.
Yeah, so I'm just going to, like you, I'm going to go back and grind through all that content.
Well, it drives me crazy. I had to turn off show trivial quests in Radar, because otherwise you wander through these areas, and these are areas that we cleared out years ago. Excuse me. But they've gone back and revamped and added new quests for, which are trivial to me now, but they still show up as quest icons. And I see those, I go, oh, I have to do them.
Really?
And I'm
even
like,
the lower level stuff?
Yeah.
Huh.
And so I had to turn that off so it didn't show those. And you can still see the faint gray circle for a quest.
Yeah.
But I just am able to ignore those. But shit.
Yeah.
If I see them on my radar, I'm doomed.
Yeah, and this is the thing. Like, a lot of these quests in the later Mirkwood, they feel really sort of not very well done. They feel like they release sort of a rushed product in terms of Mirkwood, because the first few areas are fine and they're much more streamlined than the rest of the game was, at least when we were playing through the earlier stuff. But the later quests are like all kill 15 of this, go grab 3 of this, go do this, and then send you back to the exact same area. And something like that really got on my nerves is like, which I haven't really seen in any of the Lord of the Rings content, is you'll do something, like go kill 10 orcs or whatever, come back, and while you're there, grab 3 of these things or whatever, or access 3 of these things, come back, go kill their boss or whatever, the signature of the area.
Who you were standing right next to may have probably even killed while you were there
anyway.
Most likely.
Go back and kill them, fine, whatever. Come back to the quest giver. Now, go back there and kill another 15 of the regular orcs.
Yeah.
I'm like, you've got to be joking me.
Yeah.
And my ass is like, I'll do any quest, so I guess I'm going back to get
like, your OCD is like, all right, fine. Yeah, I actually almost fucking, I didn't realize there were a couple quests that I picked up from Haldir and his people. And I didn't realize I hadn't done them, so I did them, and then I turned them in. And it was like, here's a new quest. Kill 10 of those dudes again. I was like, I already did this, really? And then I looked at my quest log, and it's like repeatable. And I was like, no, fuck you.
Yeah, I know.
None of this fucking repeatable shit. Not gonna do it.
Fortunately, there's that little cycle.
Well, exactly. The repeat. The re- yeah. fuck that. But yeah, it is real. You know, I love Lotro, and this is not a huge knock against it, but they do need to really look seriously at WoW and look at what next level quest design is and what it should be. Because they need, I mean, they need to be aware that, you know, particularly in a player base like the one you're going to have for Lord of the Rings Online that's so story focused, you can't have these cheesy ass, you know, FedEx kill and kill quest things. You know, it's got to be more than that. And particularly, you know, the recursive stuff is just, well, it's maddening.
Yeah, it's really out of place in a game that is so polished in all other respects.
Yeah.
I know there, we'll talk about this a little bit in our topic, but I know there are limitations of the hardware that they're using and the UI and everything that they've created for the game that, I mean, they don't have too much flexibility, but there seems to be a better way of approaching the general quest design than just these repeatable quests.
Yeah.
And repetitive quests. I mean, they can look to not only WoW, but Rift. I mean, Rift does, I feel, did a great job.
Really good.
Of keeping you moving through the different areas, giving you interesting things to do, like masking the fact that you're basically doing the same, like killing the same, you know, things over. But there's enough variety. The thing about Lotro is the story quests are amazing. I mean, there's some of the most epic quests out there, especially the instant stuff, and they're all like very fresh, you know, like very interesting to do. And I, like you, I love Lotro. It's one of my favorite MMOs of the current generation. And it seems like the general quest design is the only place where it's really lacking. I always feel like you're kind of grinding through the regular quests to like keep up with your story quests or just a level or whatever.
Yep. It's true. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Lotro in our topic, but have you been playing anything else?
Haven't you?
I can't think of anything. What the hell else? I mean, I played Torchlight for like 20 minutes last night.
You've been playing Forza?
No, not when you're not here.
We had a big Rock Band party, which is awesome.
We did have a big Rock Band party. That was always fun. Played some Beatles Rock Band. Forgot how good that is.
Yeah.
I still remember there's an achievement for Beatles Rock Band for playing through the entire game in one day.
So, oh, nice.
So I did that when I got the game, and it was rad.
That's cool. In like 24 hours you have to beat it?
Yeah, you have 24 hours to beat it.
That's cool.
It only took me like 8.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah, so that was super fun, as it always is. But yeah, other than that, I don't... Fuck me if I can think of anything else I played. I played some Jetpack Joyride on my iPad, but that's not really interesting.
Okay.
It's just a cannonball clone.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I too have been playing a ton of Lotro, as we mentioned. We'll talk more about that. I've been playing. Been really getting into Civ 5.
All right.
It is. I mean, it's as addicting as it always has been. I've been going for like I've been trying for a cultural victory this time, and. It's really funny because I'm playing as the Nobunaga and the Japanese and the Songhai. Like I'm playing on I think just a continental map, and there's three civs and four city states, and I'm playing against the Songhai and the Ottomans, and so I'm doing my own thing, going for my cultural victory.
Are the Japanese good for a cultural victory?
Not particularly. Right. No, they're very good at I think combat focus or you know military oriented, but I just wanted to play them. So I'm going for a cultural victory, and the Songhai are like, you know, my next door neighbors, and they keep fronting, like they keep you know publicly denouncing me or whatever, and then finally he tries to invade my lands, and I'm like, oh no, you didn't, and. Proceed to like obliterate, you know, city after city. You know, they ask for peace. I do the peace treaty thing, and then like, you know, and then he's like, "I see that your battalions or whatever are on your combat units are you know on your borders. Do you think I'm a fool?" I'm like, "Whatever," and then I go and attack.
So what you're saying is that if somebody pricks you, you bleed all over them and then just strangle them with your own blood.
Well, I'm just saying that.
Don't mess with the Japanese.
He should have known better.
Yeah.
My main thing is like, man, if they're gonna keep like knocking at the door, like I'm just gonna have to take them out so I can just go for my cultural victory. And the whole time I'm doing this diplomacy thing with the Ottomans, which is, and I'm not even doing anything. They just keep saying like, oh, let's have a research agreement. Let's do friendship or whatever. Then it's like the entire map is just us and the Ottomans and like a couple of other city states or whatever. And once our borders meet, they publicly denounce us and they go to war and stuff. So I'm like, damn it, I'm just trying to do my cultural thing, like leave her alone.
No.
So it's
not looking good for the cultural victory, is what you're saying.
No, it's going okay because like I fended them off, you know, like I've got all I keep like researching, I'm pumping some stuff into science too, so I keep like researching the newest technologies. I've got like four or five cannons like set right on their borders and a bunch of my troops, you know, a variety of troops and stuff, and everyone's just kind of looking at each other like across the borders.
It's a folded gap in 1984.
Here's the dark horse of the thing. Somewhere, like I'm on turn 330 or something like that. Somewhere along turn 250, I meet the Persians, who are on some continent somewhere on the map. And for the longest time, it's been saying like unknown player, like, and they're like ahead of us in everything. They've built like 12 world wonders. I've built 3
because they're completely unopposed.
Because no one's doing anything. Yeah, and like they're like the most well researched, the happiest nation, and everything like that. So like I think we're totally both screwed.
Yeah.
By the Persians. So
screw cultural victory. Neither one of you is going to win. Period.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're going to win on all facets. I'm waiting for like all of the Persian naval forces just to like surround both the Ottomans and us, and we're just like, and all of our troops are inland, just destroy.
That will be epic.
So, I've been playing a ton of Civ. Let's see. Been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Oh, right.
Really getting into it. I was playing it. I was playing Lotro or just like thinking about the expansion or whatever, and I was like, man, MMOs could learn a lot from Assassin's Creed quest design because it's very much MMO in format and formula in the way that it approaches. It's sort of open world, go anywhere, do anything, but like you get quests. There's a main quest and stuff like that, and they're also varied, which is it's remarkable and definitely a testament to the system that they have in place. I mean, there's simply some things you can't do in LOTRO or any games simply because you don't have parkour, you know. I never feel like there's a point in that game where it's boring. Like there's always something to do, and it's always something interesting. There's a ton of stuff to do if you want, which I want to do everything, obviously. But you don't have to do any of the stuff that if you're not interested in it. And I've got my I started to build my assassins, and I didn't realize that I knew that you could get assassins at some point and like recruit people and have them like, you know, take people out for you or whatever. What I didn't know is that there's a very sort of Metal Gear Solid portable ops or Peace Walker aspect to it where you can send them on missions and they get XP and you can outfit them and all
this
stuff.
And they can die.
Yeah, and I only send them out if it's 100% guaranteed victory. That's like adds another layer to it. And I keep unlocking like new things to do in the game and it's very, very cool.
Rad. Yeah, I almost booted up Assassin's Creed 2 again last night when I was waiting for LOTRO, and then I was like, oh, but then I'll have to relearn how to do everything, and I don't remember what the story is, and then I sucked. So
yeah, well, you sucked throughout, actually.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll get back to it someday. I still have both that and Rebel and Brotherhood installed, so I will get to them.
You must,
unless I need space.
Get it for 360 so we can play multiplayer.
I need to give you back your copy of Assassin's Creed 2 for 360.
Yeah, you're right. I also played a bunch of demos.
Oh, yeah. You said Space Marine was pretty meh.
Space Marine was, unfortunately not as cool as I thought it might be. It looks kind of bland from the videos and screenshots I've seen, and from what I've played of it, it doesn't seem very interesting. But it's just a demo. Also played a little bit of... Blood Rain Betrayal?
Blood Rain Betrayal.
Yeah.
That game looks crazy.
It is crazy. It is, I tweeted about it, more Castlevania than most Castlevania games that have come out recently. And that was a demo. Like the art style and that. Played the PES 2012 demo, Pro Evolution Soccer. That was okay.
FIFA was better.
FIFA is much better. Yeah, I played a bunch of the FIFA 12 demo. And it's pretty, you know, full featured demo. I mean, you basically have a quick match mode, but it has a little bit of a tutorial and a few different teams and stuff. So enough to convince me that I want that game.
Yeah,
which is cool. They have this really cool feature where it's like choose your team feature or something like that. So you get to choose your favorite team, like, outside of the game, like just your favorite soccer club.
Yeah, and it customizes all the menus and stuff for it.
It may do that, but I haven't seen it from the demo. But what I understand of it is the more you play just with, not, you don't have to play with that team, but just say that that's your favorite team. Everything that you do in the game goes towards supporting that team on some sort of meta, like ARG. Huh. The more people who play Man United, who most people probably would pick, or, you know, Barcelona or something like that.
Arsenal. Yeah.
Or Arsenal or whoever. They basically enter into this meta game, which gives more points to that team, and then declares them, like, the team, like the winner of FIFA around the world or something like that.
So it's like Nobi Nobi Boy.
I don't know.
Where everyone's contributions make the girl go to the moon.
I understand your analogy.
That just seems really weird. I mean, obviously Man U is going to win, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people most people would probably pick them. But, I mean, there's a lot of...
Yet another reason for fans of other soccer clubs to be angry at Man U.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's tons of club pride everywhere, so maybe this will expose that people are fans and play FIFA other than Man U fans, so...
It's true, a lot of Man U fans are thugs, so...
Is that right?
No, I don't know. I'm just making up words at this point. I don't have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're just like, goalie, pitch...
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I've been playing.
All right, that's pretty good. Oh, I'm still so full and tired from bells. So let's move on to our topic.
You're drinking a caffeine-free Diet Coke.
I don't have any caffeinated Coke. We should have gone to Walgreens. I blame you.
Caffeine would help you. Does caffeine-free Diet Coke taste like Coke?
No.
What does it taste like?
Caffeine-free Diet Coke.
Interesting.
It's like caramelized water.
Hmm.
You get used to it. It's not bad. It's not, I mean, it's a little slightly different tasting water is all it is.
Fair enough.
And it's got ascorbic acid, so my insides are getting torn up.
Oh, so that's vitamin C.
Is that what that is?
I think it's what they put in the stuff to have vitamin C in it. Probably doesn't have enough in Diet Coke to...
I don't know. I drink an awful lot of it.
Give your name. Sure.
Anyway.
What's the topic? What are we talking about? What do we got here?
So we're talking about the difficulties that LOTRO... I don't know if they're unique difficulties, but the difficulties that LOTRO faces and will continue to face... Because of the way that it's sort of built, the expansion, the route for the expansions for LOTRO is set. Every expansion is built around a story quest that follows the activities of the Fellowship as they move through the world of Middle Earth. And so you constantly have to be opening up new areas for these story quests to be happening, so you're constantly moving east. And there's no chance for them to come back to previous areas and, you know, phase them or have there be significant world changes or things like that. The kind of stuff that kind of keeps the lower level content fresh, right? They have done some region revamps, which I think have been very well received, I don't feel like they're doing enough. You know, you were saying, I don't want to play through that lower level content again because it all looks the same. And they aren't going to have the time to go back and give things a second, you know, look. Because of the way it's structured, and not only that, but I sit here and I think to myself, well, hell, they're already at Isengard, you know, in terms of the expansions. You know, what's next? Next up is Rohan, and maybe my geography is all screwed up, but I feel like Mordor is right around the damn corner.
Gondor,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they have a plan. I'm sure they have this huge like.
Roadmap of where they're going to go.
Or like a bunch of post-it notes of all of these different things that they've sort of planned out. But Yeah, I mean, it is kind of an issue, and I don't want to say they can't, because, I mean, you know, as games like such as Cataclysm, World of Warcraft have proven, they can do massive revamps to the entire, you know, 1 through 60 area and still make it work. With LOTRO, it's a little bit different, as you said, because they're tied to the story quests.
Yeah.
And the story quests, they don't follow so closely to the actual story of the Lord of the Rings, so that, I mean, they have some leeway there.
Yeah.
A lot of the quests go to places you never see in any of the main books.
Thank God.
Yeah, which is cool. And have nothing to do with the Fellowship at all.
Yeah.
Or if only just remotely. But the main... One of the main issues that I'm interested to see how they will work with is that all of the content is very much gated by level. So there's very little horizontal content in it. So you have to be level 65 to get into the Rise of Isengard. Now, 65, as you were saying before the podcast, is not too hard to get to with, you know, if you have some, you know, XP boosts or rest XP or... just the way that they've geared the content now is a lot easier to get through it. But, I mean, now they're moving to level 75 as the level cap. So when they come out with the next expansion, are they going to expect that people have played through all that content? Or are they going to create a system and put a system in place that, let's say, when they get to the content that starts with Book 2 of Lord of the Rings, like the Two Towers, when they get to that, are they going to allow you to just make a new character that allows you to just... quest with that character if you never touched the first game? Is that going to be LOTRO 2? Are they going to give people who want to, you know, who get tired of their class and they want to start playing a warding class or one of the newer classes, and they have a level 75 character, will they implement something like Age of Conan does, where they'll allow a level 40 or a level 50 character, a level 75 character to open up a level 40 character or a level 50 character, and just they'll have to play through Lothlorien or Moria or Mirkwood or something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about, because it certainly seems like that's something they could do. For sure, they would be happy to sell you that ability in the Turbine store. I don't know. It's a difficult proposition. I would really like them to, you know, do the main story quest, sort of advance the timeline, right? That's the big thing. They have to advance the timeline of the series. I'd really like to see them do that, but I also want to see them, you know, maybe do two regions that are part of that, and then take a third region somewhere else, mm-hmm. that is just someplace to go explore. You know, expand the world, kind of like what they did with Forestshell. You know, the ice.
Oh, people. Yeah, yeah.
Remember that? Really, we had a lot of fun running around in that region. There's no real reason to go up there, so it's just cool that they were able to do that. And I'd like to see more of that.
The Forestshell is an alternate questing region, right? I mean, you don't have to go up there.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think there's any epic quests up there.
There isn't.
I don't think so. I don't.
I think there might be in Volume 1. We just haven't done all those Volume 1 quests.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, too, because after you reach the level cap of any of the level caps that they've had, they keep releasing book quests that, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I reach a level cap, I don't play the game for a little while, and then I come back to it, mm-hmm. and then there's a bunch of, you know, quests that you have to catch up with.
Right.
So I wonder if that's... kind of a high... I mean, you don't have to do any of the book quests, and you can skip between the different volumes, but I wonder if that's kind of a high bar of entry for some of that stuff, too.
It's hard to say. You know, it's... yeah, I mean, that those quests exist is kind of a unique thing to LOTRO, right? There's no main through line for WoW. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're right. You don't have to do them. Which just leaves you the rest of the quest content, which doesn't necessarily lead you one way or another.
Yeah.
But
that's by far one of the best parts of the game.
Absolutely. Yeah, they clearly spent a lot of time on those, so I'd hate for them to go to waste. But at the same time, I think that they have to be building for the long tail. You know, they're sitting there thinking, we've got free players who are playing, you know, an hour a week.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, they're going to reach a point where they want to see what the next thing is, and they'll buy Moria at that point and keep going. You know, they're looking for people who are going to be buying stuff 5 years down the road.
Yeah.
As opposed, you know, so they have to build that higher level content. They're not necessarily selling into the frothing base of the strongest part of their community, but they are selling into the most vocal part of that community. So
yeah.
And it will benefit the large free play section at some point.
Yeah.
You know, they keep opening up areas for free to play players as well. So at some point there will just be, you know, a whole crap load of free to play content out there.
That's true.
Yeah, it's an interesting problem, and you know, as we were talking about earlier, their quest design. The epic quests are great, but the sort of ho-hum quests need to be much better.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be more variety, and there needs to be just more... You need to give the player more credit. You know, you can't... If you're going to have somebody go in and kill a boss and find a diary or something and then bring it back to some person, you can't have the person be like, oh my god, you know, this diary mentions the five pieces of wood that were in the camp. Go back and get those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would actually be okay if it actually said that. It shouldn't be, you know, oh, go get me those five pieces of wood that you saw sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, hey, this camp next door that you haven't been to yet, go, you know, this tells me you should go there. Link things together like that. Don't make me go back to the same place three times. And that's just, it's just aggravating, you know, and it's, we'll do it because we're OCD, but we'd like, I mean, it makes the quest much less memorable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like going to go kill this big bad dude and what an epic fight. I went to go kill the big bad dude and then, oh god, I had to go back again.
Yeah.
And then I had to go back again. And there's nothing I hate more than walking into a camp and seeing a named dude and being like, I'm going to have to kill him just to complete this other quest objective, but I know I'm coming back to kill him again.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome if you were like, you know, if the guy was like, all right, go kill this guy. And you're like, did it. Yeah. The game's like, good job.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. You know, the game does that is The Witcher.
Oh, really?
If you've killed something, if you collected something or whatever, you show up, the dude's or the woman's like, hey, will you do this? You're like, already got like five bars
way ahead of you. Yeah.
Like,
that's rad. I would love to see Lotro do that. Just, you know, and just, you know, if you want to make it so that people don't, you know, don't get gigantic bursts of XP or something like that, make the signature an elite. Make it that much harder, you know, so that if they do it ahead of time, great. But, you know, that, again, that goes into the phasing. And, you know, it's tough to compare games to WoW because those guys, A, they've got way more people, and B, they are the best in the business. You know, they've been working with it the longest. They've been thinking about it the longest. They have the money to do that. So I think the Lotro guys are still trying to wrap their heads around what phasing can do for them and how best to use it. So I'll be very interested to see. You know, I haven't even seen the stuff in Mirkwood yet, but I'll be really interested to see what they do with Isengard.
Yeah, well, that was the thing about Mirkwood is that when I first got there, there was this whole phasing thing, and I was really impressed. You know, and even past the phasing area, the first two or three areas, I was really impressed that there's a very large sort of landmass for you to discover if you wish to, but you don't have to. And like it only sends you out there a couple times or whatever, then moves you on to another area. But the later areas weren't like that. I mean, they keep sending you back, as I was mentioning, and Mirkwood's been out for a while. It seems like they could have gone back and patched that, but it doesn't seem like a priority. But yet, they're counting on you to do that content.
In order to get to Isengard.
Get to Isengard.
Although, at this point, there are a lot of different ways to advance your character.
That's true, so, yeah. Like skirmishes.
I do lots of skirmishes. You know, I grind deeds and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So... It's still not ideal. You'd like the quest to be the primary way of getting XP, but
here's another question that I was thinking about: is the main game of Lotro, the way that it works, the combat, the UI, the whole system, all of the systems in place, as many as there are, is that going to seem too iterative after the next two or three expansions? Games like EverQuest have, 20 expansions or whatever, and people still play them. It's the same game.
Yeah.
Is the same going to be okay with Lotro? Or are they going to have to release, like, a new client or, like, a graphics overhaul or, I don't know, something, maybe even something as drastic as releasing a completely new game with different combat or something like that? Because, like, this is, like you're saying, this is over the long haul. This is like, if they're going to go through Moria at the rate they're going, this is going to take them 5 to 10 years to finish the story.
Yeah, I don't think, I don't think they're going to change. I mean, they adjust the systems. I mean, they just changed the statting, you know, drastically. So they're adjusting the system as it goes along. I think the game looks good enough. They don't need to muck with that. I mean, when it first came out, it was kind of a system hog, and now just about anything, I imagine, we could run it pretty well. And
it still looks great.
It still looks great. And so, you know, I think they're okay on that front. I would like to see them add another couple classes. I don't know where the hell they do that, but I was really, really, I really thought they did a great job with the Warden and the Runekeeper in terms of keeping those classes interesting to play for advanced players.
I'd love to have like a higher level of Runekeeper or whatever, but if he could start at level 40, that'd be great. Just because it's the same content, I just don't want to grind through all that
stuff. Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, and I'm sure that's all stuff that they would like to do as well, but... constraints of lore, people were angry enough when they introduced two new classes. I can't imagine where they'd find two more. But they're inventive. The people who they used as the basis for their new classes, there's other people who they could base new classes on entirely.
For sure.
I don't know. I'm excited that LOTRO continues to thrive, apparently. And continues to advance. I imagine, as we were talking about a couple days ago, I think we're going to see a big push in accordance with the release of the Hobbit movies, because it's all under the same studios now. So Time Warner is going to be wanting them to really push that stuff. Turbine, I'm sure, would love to get a marketing push from the Hobbit movies.
For sure.
So I imagine we're going to see Lonely Mountain and, all of that area in the next, year. That's probably going to be the big one next year.
That would be awesome, especially if they do some of those. They do some like retro quests.
They're totally going to do flashback quests.
Yeah, flashback quests.
And that's going to be fucking awesome.
Oh my god, that'd be so incredible.
I'm excited to see them do that. I mean, obviously it's just conjecture, but it seems like a no brainer. If they don't do that, they're idiots.
I'm sure that they will. I mean, Age of Conan just did it with their movie.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That movie was not supposed to be very good.
Oh, man, yeah, I never saw that.
But, I mean, for all of the suggestions we're making and the sort of critiques and stuff like that, if you haven't played LOTRO, it is absolutely one of the best games on the market.
Yeah, there's no excuse. If you like MMOs even a little bit, or even if you just like Tolkien, go play these, because these guys...
Or games,
yeah. If these guys, I mean, the star constellations are exactly the way that Tolkien described them. It's just, they got every detail right.
It's the best kind of fan service.
Absolutely.
In a video game. It's really, really good.
One funny thing is that in the lake just outside the entrance to Moria, when you come out into Lothlorien...
Speak friend and enter?
No.
On the other side.
On the other side when you go into Lothlorien. You look at the water... You can see all the constellations and stuff reflected in it.
Uh-huh.
And then you look up and it's data.
That is funny.
And I'm like, guys.
That is hilarious.
I feel like I should, I don't, I feel like it should be obvious enough that I shouldn't have to file a bug report, but I feel like I should just sort of be like, so this has been around for a while. I just got here, but this has been like this for a long time. So.
The game is just really awesome. I mean, It's one of the best, and it's free to play.
It's free to play. There's really no excuse, and the free to play system just gets better with every update. So,
and I can't say enough about the epic quests. They're so epic, so well written. I'm actually really interested to sort of maybe segue a little bit. I'm really interested to see as much as everyone, including us, have like sort of poo-pooed Star Wars: The Old Republic a little bit. I'm really interested to see if they try to generate the same sort of quest arcs that that LOTRO has.
Well, that's their big selling point, right?
It is their big selling point, but we don't know exactly how they're going to do that.
I have serious doubts.
I don't know. I think it's going to be cool. We should mention they just announced the release date, which will be December
release 20th. And it's going to be subscription pricing.
Yeah,
the last MMO to ever do that.
Most likely. I don't know. I think the Secret World said they might be doing something like that
too. Maybe, but
less huge, maybe.
I don't know. I just, it feels like they're pushing it out to hit the holidays. I just, we're going to play it, obviously, but I feel like it'll be much better 6 months down the line.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, considering what they've been saying, with they pushed their betas and stuff like
that. The betas haven't even started yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they said that they were going to have betas every weekend in all of September. They have done none. And the game is 2.5 months away.
Yeah. I wonder if they felt pressured with the news that also we got last week that Diablo 3 is indeed coming out in 2012.
First quarter of 2012.
Yeah, not coming out this year. I wonder if they feel like they need to just get that game out.
I don't think so. I don't think they view Diablo as a competitor, as a direct competitor. Obviously, it's a marketplace thing, but I think I think somebody somewhere in the chain of command said, you need to sell this in the holidays,
mm-hmm.
and you cannot push it into January or February. And the guy said, okay.
And that's fair, but the game has to be done, too.
Yeah, it'll be a real shame. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't know. We'll play it. And then there's Guild Wars 2.
And then there's Guild Wars. That's for 2012. We can't, particularly this time, we can't worry about shit that isn't going to come out until 2012.
Oh, my God. Borderlands 2.
Whatever, man. Oh, God. All right. So that's going to do it. This has been the STR Gamer Podcast, Episode 17. For September 26th, 2011.
Go play Lotro.
Go play Lotro. That's what we're going to do. And
email us at strgamerpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. I'm at Brian WP on the Twitters.
I am at Salmonator.
Yes. Also on the Twitters.
Read us on the website, which is strgamer.blogspot.com.
Blogspot.com, yes.
And rate us on iTunes.
Yes, please do that. And with that, we're going to sign off.
See you next time.